Boris Mann discusses the March 2007 OSCMS event held at the Yahoo campus at the April 26, 2007 meeting of the Vancouver League of Drupaleers.
So OSCMS was happened the end of March at Yahoo. The Open Source CMS Summit is something that I came up with last year. It was here in Vancouver. This year, Yahoo ended up pretty much being the major sponsor, and they let us have all the space, which was pretty amazing. We're streaming live. There's no editing. The actual cost to Yahoo was approximately ginormous. It was the first time they had people outside of Yahoo use their space. They opened up their like corporate training center and let a bunch of different open source CMSs, including Drupal, have sessions and things there. It ended up being that we had to close registration, and people were scrambling around trying to, you know, kind of get space and so on. And I think we ended up having 380 people, so close to 400 people over 2 days. The goal kind of in some ways is to, there's a bunch of open source projects, and really, unlike proprietary software, there's a lot less competition, right? We can all learn from each other. You talked about, you know, looking at Drupal, looking at the code, and then writing your own stuff out of it, right? That's exactly the sort of thing we can do. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. The whole structure is built so that we can reuse bits and pieces. It ended up being touch Drupal heavy. You were there. But that just kind of shows up still the kind of pent-up demand for a bunch of this stuff. I don't know how much else kind of to say about it. I think there were some interesting highlights. One of the ones was when Dries gave his presentation. Kind of Dries talks about, you know, where Drupal might be heading and what he would like to see and so on. He's not, again, not necessarily the person that says how stuff goes, but obviously he's the original creator and the lead of the project, so people really listen to what he has to say. And he kind of put together his vision of where he sees stuff heading, right? One of the phrases I wanted to repeat kind of was, you know, the first thing that Drupal did was get rid of the webmaster. You don't necessarily have to have a separate person who, I want to update, our address, please, you know, and then a week later your address gets updated, or, oh, I want to post this news article or whatever. You can just, it's easy enough that you can train clients to just do things themselves. So we got rid of the webmaster. The next thing that we got rid of with the content construction kit was the DBA. Not quite, but really in some ways, you don't have to design databases. And in some ways, it's getting rid of the developer as well, the database administrator or the developer. Users can, you can learn the UI, you can go through some of these things, and you can learn how to do fairly complex functionality just by working directly with the interface and working with the content construction shift to build stuff. The next thing that was on Dries' hit list, and a lot of people kind of drew in their breath even at the got rid of the developer thing.
Oh, the audacity.
Right? Was can we get rid of the designer?
Oh, how could you? Oh, give us our CSS.
And really a lot of this stuff is for the lower end, certainly from a perspective of people who can just pick up a system like Drupal and maybe do some things like, you know, Stephen helped design the Garland theme where you can now do a color picker and do some custom theme and stuff like that. That's in no way a fully custom theme where you're overriding Drupal forms and you're doing a completely custom experience or being driven by, here's the design, make it happen in Drupal. Sure, we can do that, right? But going down the step as well of making it easier to do a lot of these things, somebody that I love dearly that I met in Brussels was, his name is Morten. He's from Denmark. And in Brussels, he became known as the King of Denmark.
Brussels was the previous DrupalCon.
So he's one of the handful of Drupal folks in Denmark out of Copenhagen. And he comes from a design background but knows a little bit of code. And he really wanted to start overriding Drupal with a lot of icons. So we had a lot of time actually set aside for people to really dig in and do a bunch of code while I was down there. So he started putting some code together so that you can override a bunch of links and other functions with that instead of having links, having icons for these things and making it very easy for developers to work with that directly within Drupal. So I think that's a direction as well. We want to make lots and lots of things easier and easier for the end user. Part of that really is install profiles as well as taking someone else's, is lots of install profiles where you take, you know, do you want a community? Well, instead of having to trawl through the, people have said, you know, it's great that there's this many modules. It's also a downside because a lot of them are crappy. or hard to work, or like how the hell do you use this? So install profiles are kind of a direction where you can make something that kind of feels like a product, right? You talk about a sports league, and I talked about Kit Hodgson down at Coding Clan, right? If people work together on an install profile for sports leagues, there's a lot of, whether you're soccer or hockey or whatever, there's lots of things that are pretty much the same. A membership-based website might be another example of something that's pretty much the same, or a conference website. There's a lot of the same things. There's going to be options for different stuff that are different, but you know, a lot of the same things. So with the install profile, we can get to, you know, not just, here's this Drupal toolkit, good luck installing whatever, but we have this ability. So I'll talk more about that later, but I think that was recognized as well at OSCMS. In closing on the OSCMS part, what I really just want to say is that there's lots of great comments about it, or people just saying, like, meeting face-to-face, and a lot of the people who are working on Drupal, many of whom I've never met before, you know, it was great to meet Karen S. She's the developer of the date and calendar modules. And she's an older lady. You know what? I don't know exactly how old she is. I'm going to say...
She's older than me.
This is streaming live. It's going to be captured. Karen, I'm going to say in her 60s. I hope I don't get that wrong. I'm going to get in so much trouble. I felt like we should lift her up on our shoulders and carry her through the street. She's done a ton of stuff on the content construction kit. She got interested in Drupal because she runs a site called elderweb.com that has a lot of health information for seniors. And so she converted to Drupal and then got interested by all these crazy people all over the world. So not only is she female, which is also less common, especially, yeah, we're not doing so well in this room today, but we do actually have quite a few Drupal core developers who are women, and actually more than I've seen in a lot of other projects. But someone that you know has kind of picked up computers, and it's great to see how that she's been able to pick up and contribute and really become a top contributor. So meeting people face-to-face is great. It's great when Yahoo gives us free space in California. We'd like to do more of these meetups on a more regular basis. There's one coming up in Toronto, DrupalCampToronto.org. Something like that. We'll make sure we look it up and post it later. And that's actually coming up in 3 weeks in mid-May, May 11th. That's in part being organized by James, or Waka, as he's known, who works with Bright out of Toronto. We did it last year, and it was a lot of fun. One of these days, we should probably do one in Vancouver, too, kind of like a one-day tutorial learning session sort of thing, right? So a little more focused than these monthly meetings. That's it. Anyone have any questions about stuff that I randomly wandered on about? Next one is in Barcelona, the big DrupalCon, September 21st to 23rd. Yes, third week of September in Barcelona this year. Weather should be nice. Try and convince clients or partners or other things. Lots of people are planning vacations around it as well. Good excuse to go to Europe, for sure. Drupal conferences tend to alternate between North America and Europe. So this was a DrupalCon combined with open source CMS, which means the next here in the US. There's some questions about, we may never have another one in the US. A lot of Europeans, including Stephen, if you want to talk to him, has some fun tales about traveling and having to sign certain documents when entering the United States. And free and open source tends to be somewhat antithetical to some of those restrictions, and many Europeans don't come to the U.S. because of that reason. So maybe we'll only have them in Canada from now on, which wouldn't be such a bad thing. Stephen says yes, exactly. So next one's in Barcelona, and then I guess the next one will be somewhere in North America again, and not planning it that far out yet. We may have a presence at OSCON in Portland, but nothing planned yet, and I'm hoping someone else plans it. Somehow, magically. Yeah, that'd be good.
Somebody in this room wants to play.
Go ahead, Lynn.
We heard that Yahoo is using Drupal pretty extensively internally.
Yes.
Any insight into how some of the bigger companies are using Drupal and how they're
using it? So I think what we saw was a lot of larger corporations and enterprise were there in attendance. And it turns out that there were actually people from Yahoo, from different departments of Yahoo, who were working at Drupal and came to this thing and figured out, you guys are working, what are you guys doing with it? It wasn't quite that bad, but they have different departments. Yahoo Research, their public website runs on that. the back end of some of the help Yahoo stuff, I believe, runs on it. And then I think one of the first adoptions was their UI pattern library. So as much as Drupal gets dissed for, oh, your usability sucks, your UI sucks, their UI team selected it to help them manage their UI pattern library. And it's got lots of customization, and they built on top of it and things like that. But heavy use, lots of really big usage. We had the performance and scalability seminar that Lullabot helped organize with profits to the Drupal Association, which I think was something, some like $5,000 ended up getting donated to the Drupal Association because of that. So that was heavily attended, and it's just basically more and more adoption. Some of the things that we heard really was this rapid prototyping and the fact that it's not single source, different than open source, but meaning that they could go to a number of different consultants or vendors to get help on it, not necessarily, you know, you have to be, you know, do I know proprietary CMSs? Random proprietary CMS train. So just more pickup. And I think at the same time, Ruby on Rails tends to be something that certainly enterprise doesn't have a lot of expertise in-house, whereas a lot of IT staff definitely feel comfortable, it's just PHP, no problem, right? So that's actually a selling point. And it does run, it runs on Windows. You can run it on Windows under IIS or install Apache on Windows. So that's another bonus for IT departments.